Welcome to episode 16 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, DA, and today I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, first, the one and only, Mr. L. Miguel. Where you at, L?
What's going on?
What's happening? And we have, as always, the knowledgeable and outspoken Sister Reese. Where you at, Reese? Well, Sharice.
Hey,
let's
Thank
change
you.
That. We're giving out the whole thing, Sharice.
We're getting governments out now.
Yeah, the government. Yeah, so we're gonna keep the conspiracy to a minimum. I don't want to get you redacted. So we're gonna keep it nice and on the level. And on this podcast, we plan to hit on various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family life, hip hop, social commentary, and pretty much any recent headlines that affect our community. Disclaimer, by no means do we claim to be experts. We're just three melanated people with a small platform, and we're here to add our two cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing today. And also make sure y'all follow the Harsh Reality Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Very important to get those numbers up. Also on YouTube. Don't forget about YouTube. First, a shout out to Melanated Conscious Society. MCS is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as knowledge of self to our youth. Make sure y'all following them on Facebook and Instagram for the latest news, meetings, and valuable information. Also, shout out our KWAZ radio family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest and conscientious-oriented content. Make sure y'all follow them on all forms of social media, as well as subscribe to the Bitter Medicine podcast hosted by the Brother Goku. And the Pro Back Perspective hosted by Oni Tase. I was chalking it up with him the other day. That dude crazy as hell. And that brings us to our BOB Spotlight feature where we highlight a black-owned business. We all know that economic independence is the key to ultimate freedom. So I would like to make a point to acknowledge a black-owned business every episode. This episode, we are highlighting Troy Dameron and his company, Fulla Flavor to Go Hookahs. Fulla Flavor is the first urbanized hookah company operating out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. And make sure y'all go follow them on Instagram. And we'll also be leaving the direct link to them in the show notes. So make sure y'all check that out. And lastly, the podcast is now on Patreon. Please donate. And of course, all proceeds go to upgrading the show and providing the best content we can for loyal listeners. Also, for those looking to be featured in Black Owned Business Spotlight or looking out to reach out to the show, you know, drop an email at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. And now, without further ado, let's get into the topics. And what I got first on the docket here is a look at the restaurant owner trying to revoke black women's right to twerk in a way, huh? In the restaurant. And what does this resistance to black men, basically trying to highlight that black men aren't protecting black women, and where does that whole concept come from? And thoughts if the restaurant owner was actually within his rights to tell them to stop, or was he tripping a little bit? So I think I'm going to throw this to L first. He seems to be very opinionated on this certain topic.
That joint was crazy. Not so much the video, because it cut off. I think from the first angle I seen from the owner just speaking his piece, right? And I feel like, you know, he's the owner. He can kind of set the tone and the vibes of what type of place he wants. But the biggest thing was the backlash, the comments, the reposts, the retweets of women just saying like that black men were oppressing them. And it's like, me personally, I'm kind of, you know, with, In today's climate, I think we already have the lane for over-sexualized women, right? We already, you know, like not everybody can be over-sexualized in our community. We probably, if you really think about it, what is it, 340 million? And what we got about maybe 12 million black women, you know, like all 12 million black women can't be, you know, advocates for twerking in restaurants. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that that's the case, but I just think it's a very important time in society where we should be, you know, really looking at the effects of our actions. And with all these girls being kidnapped and sex and sold and through sex trades and all kind of things, man, I just think that we should be really looking at protecting our women. But it's kind of hard when women don't want the black man to protect them, but then turn around and say, black men ain't shit. You know, it's just kind of one of those, difficult times where roles are I can't say even say being reversed, but I think they're being redefined. And women, I think, need to allow us to be their shield. You know, as much, you know, I don't say no hoes, but we're not in a predicament where we need everybody. You know, we need everybody to be on their toes.
Yeah. So what do you, thankfully we got a couple of resident women here. Oh, I forgot to shout out Ryan in the background, handling the fact check too. You got to throw you in the intro. I got to throw you in the intro notes. Appreciate you. But, Sharice, what you think about, you know, the latest incident of the twerking in the restaurant, and was the owner within his right to tell them to hold up with that?
So I do think he was within his right, because that's his establishment. And from what I read, he had already approached them a few times prior to him going and that video being recorded. So, you know, I mean, if you want to keep a certain tone in your restaurant, but it's the music choice too, because he was playing some music that people wanted to twerk to, which caused them to twerk. But I think he was within his right to address them. I mean, some of the words and the way he addressed it, you know, may have been off-putting to some people, but, you know, he meant what he said. But as far as that protecting Black women thing, I think we do, as Black women, have to allow men to protect us. I think a lot of that comes from us receiving or knowing what that protection entails. Like, what are we receiving, you know, or understanding what protection is? Because if you think about it, you got a lot of kids that grow up and they may not have a father in the home. So it's just their mom. You know what I'm saying? So I think we have to learn how to allow our men to protect us.
Okay, that's a good point there. What I will say is that I think he was in his right to, you know, this establishment, you know, if they can tell you no shoes, no shirt, no service, and now they can demand you, you know, wear a mask or whatever and becoming into the restaurant, things like that. I think it's within your right to be like, hey, I don't, you know, this ain't the place to dance, right? You can't go into like a 5-star steakhouse and just start getting on the tables and shaking your ass. Can you? I don't think this. You'll be out there on the first thing. And I think part of the thing he's trying to promote is basically when I was looking at the menu and looking at the things about the restaurant, he's trying to promote kind of a classy Black spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which we're sorely lacking. It's not really, most places you go to that's Black owned and restaurants is not considered a 5-star, you know, restaurant, you know. Just for simple fact, it's Black owned. Like, how many do you know? If they do, they got to hide the fact they're Black owned to even have that 5-star rating, right? That's not part of their identity. And with this restaurant, he's trying to promote that this is a classy Black place, right?
Yeah.
Where we can, you know, dress up, have fun, go eat, and present a image beyond that mainstream narrative of a bunch of, you know, women twerking and dudes with do-rags and Tims up in that joint and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to present a classy image. So,
but let's keep it a buck too, though, right? Like, what if you got, say they got, you know, in COVID times, they probably have like, what, 150, depending on how big the building is, maybe 150 people capacity limit, right? We say about 60% would be women in there. If you have 30% of that 60% twerking, you know who gonna be there? All the vultures, all the wolves. And we know what happens when the wolves come out. You know that he's trying to preserve a place for, like you said, Black people to go and have a high-end, high-class spot. You know what I mean? And we need those. You know those. You know, and think of the people that he employs too. You know, when, you know, let's keep it a buck. Not saying that people of certain cultures don't have any bread, but you want to make sure your employees is getting tipped. You know, servers don't get paid much. Right. You know, they make their bread from tips. So you want to ensure that this is a high end spot. You know, when you pay that bill, that $200 bill, you want to make sure the people that come in there at least leaving a $50 tip for your employees. You know what I mean? Which helps bolster and bolster, you know, our Black community. So I think we don't look at the big picture. And I, you know, I feel for him because he's trying to keep his spot from getting shot up. Let's keep it a buck. You know what I mean? Like that joint turn, you know, I went up, I'm up in Jersey. I went to a hibachi spot. I went there to watch the Ravens and Chargers and eat some sushi. And within 45 minutes, that joint turned into a full-fledged club. And they shot that joint up. You know what I mean? And it was a real nice joint. But you know, if you let the vultures come out and feast, they, you know, they not going to care about the establishment. They in there to get what they got to get. And we really, aside from, you know, just protecting his establishment, I really, really, I mean, it's all fun, right? Twerking, dancing, it's all cool. But I think it's a time and place for everything. And, you know, it's just like, if you can't control yourself by listening to Meg Thee Stallion, you know, if he, you know, like Sharif, you said he went and, you know, he expressed to him like, this not the spot for that. You know what I mean? I'm glad you're here, but this ain't the spot. Just honor the man's wishes. If he probably did it discreetly too. You know
exactly.
What I mean? And you know, you just not respect. To me, that's your sign
exactly.
of not respecting the man.
I was just going to say that we got to respect each other's businesses as Black folks. We don't give each other the same respect that we do everybody else. We go to each other's establishments or use each other's businesses and want discounts, or we don't want to pay, or, you know, we feel like we should get something extra. So they're pretty much, while the man's talking, is like laughing or cracking jokes. And even though it might have been, you know, funny the way he was speaking to them in that moment, but it's just a lack of respect, you know. And as he was talking, he was saying how much money he invested into his business and all the hard work it took. And anybody that has a small business, they understand the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into your business. So for him to be a Black man, to have a successful establishment, and you have your own people that look like you, you know, you go and approach these people several times and you ask them like, hey, can y'all calm down? And your own people aren't even respecting you enough to do that.
Exactly. And you hit it on the head too. He built something, right? With blood, sweat, and tears. A lot of people don't realize, if you're an independent entrepreneur and you building something, you working more than 8-9 hours and going to the crib. That's nothing. 8-9 hours. You working 12-20 hours,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a 20-hour day, bro.
Yeah, and you risking everything too. You putting your name on the line, your credit score, all that. So if this don't go right, you screwed for the next 7+ years. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta respect man for that. And like you to Sharice's other point, and people, a lot of people took offense to how he toned it or how he said it, but that wasn't the first time he said something. You know what I mean? These cameras didn't start rolling until he snapped, right? And certain people, man, we all come from, you know, urban environments. I come from the hood, just for lack of a better term. And one thing you gotta realize, you gotta talk to certain people certain ways and when they from certain areas. If he had came over there with like, you know, could you guys please, I'm exactly. asking you for the second time to, you know, if you guys could please, they gonna be like, man, shut your square.
They're so, roasted, buddy.
Exactly. So he had to handle the business. He had to do what he had to do. He had to put that bass in the voice. You already know, when daddy tell you stop jumping on the couch, you put the bass in the voice, them kids gonna stop jumping, right? And so he had to do what he had to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's very deceiving when the cameras just start rolling at one angle and you don't see the full story or full scope of what was going on.
Also, too, we don't know who his investors are, right? Even though this is a Black establishment, he might have an investor that's in from the suburbs of a white gated community. You know what I mean? And they're heavily, they want to see a return on investment. You know, they know us, you know, people know us, what, you know, in order to maximize profit. It's just like if you're buying a house, right? And the first house that I bought, the builder told me some, he said something that I thought was extremely racist, but he was really speaking from an economic point of view, where he said that you don't want anybody, any type of demographic in your community. As a Black man, I was pissed. You know what I mean? But years later, you know, sometimes the lines get blurred between the hood and the suburbs, especially as the middle class is dwindling, right? And so, you know, sometimes we have, you know, Black people, we have to protect really our middle. We got to protect our bank. You know what I mean? Like that man is providing jobs. And like you said, DA, that we pretty much have to have kind of like be cognizant of how we are economically affecting one another. You know, like, it's hard to wake up and have to think for yourself when it comes to getting this bread. And so, like, get that man respect for employing somebody. You know, you might need to go to him for a job sooner or later. So don't disrespect each other. You know what I mean? It's just very disheartening, the position that a lot of women, Black women at that, are kind of saying. It's not all Black women. I see some Black women like, nah, they were out of pocket. But even like, that should be a clear cut. Like, you know, the man asked you, please stop. Just stop. And, you know, it's nothing else other than that. Just stop. Because if a man kept messing with you at your place of business, you'd be ready to, you know what I mean, throw a fit, call the cops. Or it'd be all kind of craziness. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, so I think we hit on that topic. You know what I'm saying? I would say, you know, on like a final little thing, you got to be cognizant too of, you know, reviews and stuff like that. So if somebody want to go on Yelp and be like, yo, this is the spot where women's is shaking their ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Raj said it's True Kitchen. And the man's name is Kevin Kelly.
And she had her butt on the glass. He said they were shaking their ass on their glass.
I hope that was some
like, you know how much it costs to get your windows cleaned? I did that too.
Disinfecting the joint.
Right. That was come
some
on yams
and not some goddamn extra lean turkey on that glass.
You know that's why. That's why he was mad. It's because they was big, probably taking up too much space on the window.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a time and a place for everything. I don't really want no ass next to my steak and potatoes. You know what I'm saying? That's not cool. So I would say he's in his right. But let's go ahead and move on to the next one. And what I have now is in response to Chicago's planned school reopening. We have the Chicago Teachers Union sending out a tweet calling the move to open the schools sexist, racist, and misogynist. And my question is, are they actually concerned with the safety of the students? Or are they trying to get paid for basically doing minimum work? And also, when you hear things like this, does that kind of kill the notion about the perceived, you know, selflessness of teachers and the courage and things of the frontline workers? So let me put
that
out
there. I don't get that, bro. What's sexist about it? Is it sexist because majority of teachers are women? I don't.
Probably.
I guess I'm missing the point of why it's sexist. I mean, like, that's like nurses, right? Most nurses are women too. So is it sexist that nurses have to work? I just don't understand the narrative of it being sexist. I know we pretty much teach my son virtually. You know, he missed sometimes whole class days because he can't log into something, you know, where we send him for daycare. And, you know, we pretty much teach him at home anyway, you know, after school. So I mean, I can't speak for every school in America, but, you know, teachers kind of getting away with, you know, they not, I mean, I'm sure they're still working hard, but when you don't got to deal with 10 to 15, sometimes 30 kids, you know, coming from crazy backgrounds and dealing with the social and personal side of teaching, I think their job is probably somewhat easier right now. So, I don't get that narrative, but, you know, it's all leverage in the bargaining tool for people's self-interest, I guess.
Exactly. It looks like Rod was ended up saying that they since deleted that tweet. I just looked at it maybe like an hour ago. So I think they was getting ratioed, as they called it in the comments about it. And I think you hit the nail on the head, man. How is that sexist, misogynist, or racist? I guess what they're trying to imply that maybe it's a lot of black women teachers or something like that. And by making them go to work. And this is just me, you know, thinking what could they possibly have been thinking by tweeting that. But and also that kind of kills the narrative, right? It kills the word when you overuse words like racist, you overuse words like sexist exactly. and misogynist. It's crying wolf and it loses meaning, right? So you don't even care no more. It's like now everybody yelling racist, racist, racist. So when racist stuff really do happen, you like, oh, here they go again.
We gotta call it the Byron Allen-ing. You know what I mean? Byron Allen, you know, he pulled that race card trying to sue Comcast and got us in a big bind. We ain't never going to be able to sue Comcast ever again. You know, when you use that race card, you better be sure you got a Trump. You better be holding on to Joker, deuce out that mother. You know what I mean? Like, we so quick to throw the race card out there when we don't like something. People not understanding when to use that race card. You got to use that joint when it's something big on the line. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the sexist, you could probably get away with it. The feminist movement is kicking up steam. You know, you throw anything up there where you can get women to hate men, it's going bubble, you know. But the racist shit, that whole movement kind of fizzling out. You know what I mean? Like, even black people be looking at other black people like, nah, that ain't racist. You just
exactly.
lazy, you know? So we've been using crying wolf for racism for some time. And I can see women feeling, you know, like, oh, if, you know, feeling maybe that they're being disrespected, maybe for being forcefully having to go to work or whatnot, but it's just the net narrative. We all know that male teachers are lacking in the school system. Like, that's always been the case. That's never not been the case for like hundreds of years. So like, when, why is it all of a sudden now sexist, you know?
And you know what else? They not, so you know, they talking about how, you know, this move is you know, causing them to put themselves at risk, right? And nobody gives a rat's ass about dudes stock shelves at Publix, right? They've been working the whole time for like $9 an hour. Chicago Teachers Union, I want to say average salary is above, it got to be above 60K, right? I have Rod look that up for me. But yeah, and they complaining, and they're not complaining about that $9 an hour at Publix, right? They're still stocking them shelves. They still got to go to work. You know, and they're in contact way more. You know, think how many people go in and out of a grocery store, right? On a daily basis. So you're talking thousands of people in wherever area you're at, you know. So it kind of like when you want to praise these frontline workers, right? But at the same time, you want the benefit of that title, but you don't want to put yourself at risk, right?
Exactly.
So that's kind of crazy to me.
Like you said, like, I mean, I respect a lot of these frontline workers. Like my barber, he stocked overnight and cut. You know what I mean? I think the ratio right now, they say like for most establishments, you got a 1 in 16 chance to contract COVID from somebody. You know what I mean? I'm in a gym every night. You know what I mean? But I think I had it, so I'm not really fearful of dying from it. But I mean, then you're seeing all these student athletes get it and be good within 8 days. So I take my chances. But I think, you know, it's not saying that you can't say, look at, you know, what about me? But, man, look at all, like you said, all the people that's literally, if the people stop working and stocking the shelves, the food chain would crumble, bro. You know what I mean? Exactly. If teachers stop teaching, damn near, they're not really teaching now. You know what I mean? People, they'll find a way, right? The survivability of what's going, you know, of people wouldn't change. It'd actually probably get better if you didn't waste so much time. If you had to sit at home and find different ways to survive than a rather regular 9 to 5, people will get creative and, you know, you will probably see people building more small businesses and filling more needs in their community. So I don't know, man, I feel indifferent. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a woman either to really judge. I empathize with them, but you know, I just say, especially with black women, don't pull the race card and definitely don't pull the feminist card unless it's really, you know.
You love them two words together.
Man, I mean, if that's what they use. I'm just regurgitating the topic. You know what I mean? If you're saying racist and sexist, you know what I mean? You don't do that.
But everybody could say that too, though, because everybody else that's a frontline worker is working. So that's confusing, because being a teacher should be, you're doing it because you're being selfless, because that's your true passion, because not everybody has the patience to deal with children all day long. You know
kids,
what I'm saying?
Kids are nasty too, though. Kids not washing their hands. They digging in their butt and putting boogers under their
head. But ain't they virtual? They want them to go back. Okay, yeah. So I get that. But maybe it's not safe. They don't feel like it's safe for them to. They do make good money.
But then you also look at, like, this is in Chicago, right? I'm from Chicago, right? In Chicago, this is this might be the safest place for these kids to be in some of these neighborhoods, right? School is like their way of getting out of a bad situation, right? They might be they escape from, you know, abusive, you know, single day. And then think about single parent households, right? They can't just, you know, skip work. They still got to put food on the table. Nobody's handing out checks. To what, we got one $1,200 check during this whole pandemic? So
exactly.
That's ridiculous. And then you got to think about the young kids, kindergarten kids. You think a 4 or 5 year old, 6 year old going to sit at a computer for 9 hours a day, 8 hours a day? That ain't happening. You got the abused kids. You got special need kids who can't. Yeah. They can't sit at a computer, you know what I mean? So you telling people can't even read? Yeah, and you telling people they can't read? 5 year old, you might not even can't even read that great. I know grown ass people can't sit at a computer for 8 hours and read some stuff, let alone
exactly.
Bro, my mom couldn't even connect to the Wi-Fi one of the days she watched, you know, our kids, you know, during the day, so we could go to work. But you know, he missed a whole day of class because, you know, they issued out laptops. And she couldn't even connect to the Wi-Fi. So, you know, it's like, I had to tell Mello, like, man, you going to have to do this. You know what I'm saying? So we asking our kids to do a lot. Like you said, I cut school from fourth grade till I got expelled. And ain't no way kids are sitting in front of a laptop all day and learning anything. I know my son is typing in cool games and playing games while he learning. I already
quit. They can't sit still that long. I wouldn't think they get bored. That's not, they do need that stimulation. They're doing
PE virtually. How do you do physical education virtually?
Don't mean y'all seen that. They tell them to do like push ups, go outside. Yeah, or something.
I'd be like, man, cut out. I'd be like, cut it out if I was the kid. That would be me. I'd have been suspended over virtual learning because I'd be like, nah. Me
and oh, and some of these dudes are real smart, man. I was talking about some kids like taking a, like recording like a few seconds of them sitting at the screen and kind of putting it on the loop and sending it out there, you know, so it looks like they sitting at the computer desk, meanwhile they sleep like in the bed.
Love this generation. Love this generation. This generation of kids, they on it, bro. They on it. I love these kids.
Bro. Yeah, man. These kids been coding since they was like 6-7 years old in some places. So you know what I mean? They can easily get over this system. So I'd say, man, it's at the point where it's like either they got to go back or you might just homeschool. Or even if they can, I was listening to the podcast. They basically get some areas get like $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 per kid. That's what the state pays for every kid that's in that school system, right? What they could do is instead of, you know, paying for them to be at that school system, give you a voucher for that $10,000, $11,000, $12,000. You could hire a tutor to come for the year for that, to come to your house or whatever and teach the kid.
I pocket all of that. But that extra 10, I still put me at about 70 for the year. I'll sit at home. You know what I mean? And
even if one parent, if they could pay the parent, let's say your job is, all right, I'm the teacher for, you know, two parent household. One person say, all right, my job is going to be to teach the kid. Now you give me this voucher. I could take that, you know, buy school supplies, whatever. Shit, even if you're going to, like you say, pocket it, you know what I'm saying? To feed the kid. But, you know, you should be able to have an option to do, you know, do what you got to do with that money rather than it's just going straight to the state and his kids ain't even in the school. So, you know what I'm saying?
We'll see what Kamala Harris in office. He's probably hoping these kids don't go back to school to pipeline them straight to prison. They about to be all kind of locked up. You about to see.
I'm screaming. We did it, Joe. We did it. We did it, Joe.
I was calling you racist 3 months ago, but I love you, Uncle Joe. Yeah, that was she killing me with that little fake smile. So let's.
Peace, family. This is Oni inviting you to listen to the Pro-Black Perspective, where black problems are addressed with black solutions.
Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Let's move on to the next subject we got with T.I., the mayor of Atlanta. Ain't he king of the South, too? I think he got a couple titles. I think he got a few titles. So we had an issue with, you know, T.I. commenting on the King Von situation with the shooting in the city. Rest in peace, King Von. That was some senseless act of violence over there. But T.I. basically came out and tweeted, basically keep that in your own city, right? And he tried to say like it wasn't in response to that shooting, which the timing of it is very suspect for it not having anything to do with that particular incident. But should T.I. even tell people to kill in their own cities? You know, what kind of messages does that send out? And the message should be not to kill, period. So it seems like he's, you know, active in the community, but sometimes, you know, is his message more ego driven as king of the South, as he calls himself, or, you know, is he legit trying to care about the, you know, the violence?
Raj said, correct to say in quote, he said, handle your beefs in your own city. But we know where that's going to go, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I think we talked about T.I. a lot. Because T.I. be bugging. It's kind of crazy. I get it, T.I. Like, you know, when you have your change man and you're far removed. But, man, a few times I've been to Atlanta, it's bulletproof glass everywhere. And this is dating back to 2010. Like, Atlanta ain't been a safe spot for quite some time. So I don't know why he's acting like Atlanta is the mecca of peace. You know, like... Atlanta is the spot where you know people get busy at. I think it's like one of the lead-ins and carjacking. Every gas station is bullet. I couldn't even pay for a honey bun at the gas station. I ain't know how to do it. They told me to hold it up to the glass. I'm like, damn, you know. So it's kind of like, and this is coming from, you know, a person that had an arsenal of weapons. You know, like, you know, some things are beyond repair. You know, with interpersonal relationships. I don't knock any beef, you know, some things aren't always mainstream beef, you know? So it's kind of weird from T.I. Where he say things that could completely and 100% contradicts what he made a living off of.
Well, Rock corrected. He said exactly, stop coming here to kill each other. That shit is played out. Okay, I could kind of see where your words could be misconstrued to make it seem like you saying, you know, but I think he could have just even more so simplified that and say, stop killing each other, right? Stop the violence, right? When you give people an opportunity to even misconstrue your words, you know what I'm saying? You kind of open up Pandora's box. So what you got on that, Sharice?
Well, just like Elle was saying, you know, I'm right here, right outside of Atlanta, and Fox News is like watching an action movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so there's no lacking of crime here, period. You know, but if you ask people that have grown up here that are from Atlanta originally, they say that people that move here that aren't native to Atlanta brought the crime. But I don't really think that's true, you know. But as far as what T.I. said, you know, handle your beefs in your own cities, I feel like is sending the wrong message. I feel like he, as, you know, someone as influential as he is in the music industry, he should be more active in telling young men and women not to kill each other, period. You know, because we've had too many, we've lost so many young rappers this year, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think he could have just worded that better.
Yeah, like I said, he left it open for interpretation. So, like, I think he did come out and did he kind of retract the statement, or he kind of, you know, reiterated what he really meant by it. So, you know, he'll get a little bit of pass on that. But I think the message should always be, you know, stop the violence, stop the killing. You know, how many rappers they lost this year? It was ridiculous, man. How many, you know, if they're not going to jail, they're getting killed, man. And it's been like a ridiculous this amount. You think, you know, with all these restrictions they got and lockdowns and people not getting concerts and stuff, you think, you know, it would be a drop in like incidents of rappers and musicians and things being killed. But it looks like it almost like it's at a record high, right? Like, it's crazy.
I think for me, just the logic of his statement of making it seem like Atlanta is something. I get it. Atlanta is a place where a black person can move with nothing and make something, right? It's one of our flourishing black communities. You know, I know a lot of people that have moved to Atlanta and complete 180 on their life, but I'm looking at stats now, and Atlanta's ranked pretty high, like top 10 in almost every major crime statistic. You know, whether people are coming from out of town, Atlanta is already a city that's integration of a lot of different cultures. It's been that way. You know, my own city has its own Plainfield, New Jersey Day in Atlanta. You know, like Atlanta, whatever Atlanta used to be, that's not what it is anymore. So I think the notion that people are coming to Atlanta to do crime, well, that's been the case. And he's contributed to that crime. You know what I mean? He's contributed to that culture that sensationalized that type of behavior. I get he's trying to change it now. He can't, you know, I'm not knocking him for saying what he's saying, but, you know, that I just find it hard where you contribute to something and then say, don't come here to do it. And it's, you know, it's like, well, shit, don't do it at all. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we don't have the numbers to where we could be just, especially the age of some of these people. What was King Von? 24?
He was young.
Like, what was Mo? Well, he was in his 30s. You know, they shot Boozy going to Mo's funeral, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Damn. I'm sorry.
It's, you know, and I think it was somebody else that got popped. A couple other rappers that got popped, you know? And then you see Casanova going through his trial for a 15-year-old kid getting shot, you know, regardless if he had anything to do with that or not. I mean, we still talking about a 15-year-old child getting assassinated, you know what I'm saying? And now on top of that, Casanova, who I think is only like maybe 32, going probably looking at life in jail. You know, these are prime soldiers for this war that we in that are being taken away, and especially with the bank. You know what I mean? You know, these are bank. You know, we taking away bank from people that could really make positive change in communities. So
yeah, and I think even this year is even more. I've been looking up the stats on certain things. I know a couple cities, Chicago, seeing record numbers of shootings. New York can have record numbers of shootings. This summer, you know, it's been crazy, you know, because you know a lot of the anxiety build up with this whole pandemic thing they got going on and all that stuff. So I think more than ever, it should be a drive for dudes like T.I., dudes like, and we seen, you know, Jeezy and Gucci kind of, you know, did it their thing at the event they had, the Versus, right? Which got pulled off without any violence, which is phenomenal. Surprising. Yeah, very surprising.
especially the type of time Gucci was on. Gucci was on a different type of time than Jeezy.
Oh, Gucci always on a different Versus. Type of time. Gucci's a different type of animal, man. But you know, that thing that at least showed that, you know, you can sit in a room with two dudes who got bodies between them, right? You know, they lost friends and all that, and no violence kicked off, right? It was tense at moments, tense at times, but at the end, it was a positive moment with them performing the song, and that happened in Atlanta. These are two of our Atlanta staples, right? It might have been even more powerful. T.I. just showed up on some support and dapped the cats up. You know what I'm saying? So I think now more than ever, the message should be just straight, no violence, none of this. You know, we gonna dead that from here on out, you know? So That's my little stamp on that little situation. We got anything else on the King of the South, T.I.?
Nope.
Good album, man. Good. He put out a good album this year.
You know, I ain't even check it out. I'm going to check it out.
He put out a good album. It came out at the same time as somebody else's album that was, I think it was Benny the Butcher. Unfortunately, Benny just put out a classic album, and T.I.'s kind of got pushed to the wayside. But classic album.
He got shot too. Benny the Butcher got.
Yeah, Benny got shot too in a supermarket. I think he couldn't even go get a smoothie. You know, and we talking about killing our bank, bro. Like I don't know. Maybe some of these gangsters and goons out here moving with some offshore accounts, but you know what I mean. I'm, you know the. You can't be taking the bank away. You know what I mean? Like, you know, don't take the bank, you know? So it's kind of fucked up, man.
Yeah. You got to stop in the shoot. Hey, you might want to invest in security. Good year to invest in security. You know what I mean? I'll put that out there. Why are all these rappers moving around without, you know, you got that bread, man. Where your goons, where your man's in them at? You know what I mean?
The protect price of security high now, bro. If I'm security, I'm taking the extra 15% for COVID. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how that gotta go.
All right, so let's go ahead and did that one. We'll move on to this next one, which is the marijuana legalization. Marijuana legalization is accepted in by two-thirds of the population who want that into effect. And it's already been deemed safer than alcohol or prescription drugs. And then the question is, do we think it should be legal nationwide with restrictions? Right now, you got a staggering 450,000 people locked up for drug violations, and you get about 660,000 people arrested for weed law violations. And legalization will mean freeing a lot of these people that are locked up, depending on the type of charge. So you have a lot of people locked up for a nonviolent drug offense. And do we think, you know, it should be legalized nationwide? And do you think it's going to be legalized with the administration, the Biden-Harris administration you got coming in? Do you think that they will make that happen? So let me throw that out to y'all.
Yeah, I think it'll be legal. You know, it's a prime opportunity for them to make money. You know, lobbyists and big business, you know, the presidents and all of these people, they fill their pockets. What I would be interested in seeing is if you let these people out, under what conditions do you let them out? Do they get let out with being falsely charged, right? Or is it just like, oh, well, at the time this was illegal and we just let you out because it's not illegal anymore, right? And if they do get compensation, you know, but a very slim chance that they say, hey, you know, we think that we were wrong for giving you 18 years in prison for 2 ounces of bud, we want to pay you X amount for every year, you know, like if you get falsely charged, where does that money come from? Because generally that money comes from the communities. You know, I would like to see, you know, some hard, some like real directive of how we compensate some of these people if they get compensated at all. And then also I would like to see some laws be changed. I know in Jersey, if you have a marijuana card, you can't carry. You can't buy a firearm. Yeah, you can't carry or buy, I think, a firearm, which is crazy. So it's like, how, you know, it's like...
You can drink, though. You can drink and carry a firearm.
Yeah, but you I think if you have a marijuana card at this point in time, now they might change it, but I think for the moment, everybody is so happy that they can legally smoke outside on their front porch.
Exactly.
And nobody's really thinking about the implications of some of the laws that legalization of marijuana may affect. So I think it's a deeper, we need it all, you know, it's almost a state by state deep dive of how, you know, look, you know, what the underlying conditions of some of these things by legalizing marijuana might have and move forward from there.
Yeah. I think she was doing it where Sharice was throwing out more so the federal right, decriminalize it federally, right?
Right.
So my question is, do you think, you know, with the incoming administration, do you think they would be in favor of that, knowing what we know about, you know, Kamala, who's a prosecutor, and, you know, Biden, who has always contended that marijuana is a gateway drug, like it's 1987 or some shit. But what do you think?
I think they'd be more open to doing it now, because so many people are in favor of it. But to El Miguel's point, I don't think that, like, as far as them letting people out, I think if it was legalized nationwide, right, I think if they were to let people out, they probably wouldn't. I couldn't see them giving them anything for it, because at the time they committed their crime, it was illegal. So I think going forward, though, if they were let out, then, you know, it'd probably just be like, okay, bye. You know, like, you're done. Yeah. I'm letting you out. You know, you don't get anything. But the way I look at it is, you broke the law at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but you have some people doing 20 years in prison for an ounce of weed.
You know? I think that was something else, though.
I mean, especially like states like New York, where you can do jail time for spitting on the sidewalk. Like, don't get caught.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like some states are real crazy. With like Jersey's crazy too. It's like everybody smoke weed in Jersey, but it's just a thing of don't get caught doing it, you know?
Right.
And then you look at probation, like, you know, some people got like 10 years of probation for like weed. You like how you know, probation is like almost a death sentence. It's like you can't really get any kind of infractions, and you telling me I can't get a traffic violation for 10 years? I can't, you know, if I get caught jaywalking, I can go to prison. So, like, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, the people that were moving, like, weight. Like, yeah, okay, we get that. But, like, the person that had, you know, went to go pick up 28 grams and got pulled over for some bullshit and got illegally searched and couldn't afford a lawyer and now is doing 8 years behind bars, you know, those cases are, you know, I would think might be looked at. You know, or should be looked at. I know they won't be looked at, but
yeah.
Look at the Pennsylvania judge that a few years ago that got caught selling teens to prison. I guarantee you a lot of those cases were drug cases. You know what I mean? I guarantee you a lot of those cases were probably which should have been misdemeanors were probably bumped up to felonies, and some of these kids did prison time. You know,
that's the easiest thing to get people on is drug charges, especially weed.
You can get locked up for weed without having weed on you. Like, it's a DUI, right? What, driving or DWI? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and a lot of times, even if you're not high anymore, if they suspect you of being high because of the smell and they take you in and it's in your system, you can still be charged. So it's a lot of BS when it comes to how and why people got locked up. I think it would be a stain on Kamala, right? It would be a definite thing that would be brought up and would probably hurt re-election when they start digging in to see how many people in the state of California has been locked up for petty weed charges. You know, they're going to be like, oh, you locked him up for a blunt?
Right.
You know, so I think, I think Democrats are always going to favor the things that keep people surface level happy, but...
and keep them off their ass.
But that was one of the things they knocked on Kamala about even before the election was commencing, right? Is that she was talking a lot on Breakfast Club about she smoked in college. Yeah, yeah, but you keeping all these hundreds of thousands of offenders in California in jail for the same thing you just admitted on the Breakfast Club, trying to sound cool that you did. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
My favorite rapper alive is Tupac. I always love smoking weed, listening to Tupac. That new Tupac was fire. Like, come on, you know what I mean? Like,
it's for Sprite. She started twerking and pulled the hot sauce out the bag. You know what I mean?
She would have did that. She might have got my vote because she is black.
Oh my gosh,
might have got my vote. Might have got it.
I don't think you're the right complexion, bro. You know what I mean? Looking at a hug, girl, you might be a. You need to stay out. You in Jersey? You might be close enough. You know, you got the. You got right. What they call it? Who the cat? Who's that cat? Diddy's the son. Got the damn who my
one of the DeBarges. He was like one of the DeBarges.
She with the barge on him. Oh man.
She said not Chico.
Not Chico.
But you know what I mean?
I'll be sure. There you go.
Oh yeah, I'll be sure. Quincy, that's his name. Quincy.
Oh yeah.
You got the Quincy good hair. I could pass that. I could go weeks without brushing and still had that wet and wavy.
This dude crazy. Alright, so but personally, you know, speaking from these two, you know, their track record, man, I don't see it. Even with the big push to, you know, decriminalize, you know, marijuana, I don't really see it happening.
You think Obama smoked?
Yeah,
he said he did. Like he smoked.
No, I mean like right now, like you think,
bro, he chain smoked Newports. You don't think that dude lit up a spliff or two in his lifetime, bro?
That'd be a dope combo. Even though, like, I like Obama personally, but can you imagine smoking a blunt with Obama? Like, yeah, that would be some dope shit.
I don't know, man. You might hear some stuff you don't want to hear about in terms of all them presidential secrets and whatnot. I think I might be good on that.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I just keep smoking and toting. Forget about it.
You might say something. You ain't got it. You know what I mean? You might end up locked up on one of them federal charges. You mess around, smoke with Obese. Talk about how you was running packs back in high school.
Oh, back in high school? What's the statue?
Oh, yeah. What year was that?
Michelle, give me my notepad.
I know they smoke. I know she got to be blazing. Because we seen the kids blazing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They got the videos of the kids blazing. Obama like, didn't I tell you to only do that shit in the crib? You know what I mean? Michelle probably like, that's probably Michelle's stash. You know what I mean? She wrote a best-selling book. That was probably a rough draft. Submitted that joint. Made millions.
You're fool. Alright, speaking of legacies, of children's legacy, we got LeVar Ball, the guy who could beat Jordan at 1-on-1, right? and him basically willing his sons by some people's definition into the NBA, despite the NBA, despite the media's attack on his character, right? They all called him out, said he was a distraction, said his, you know, sons would be, you know, they would distract from the team presence and everything with his antics. But we see that's not really the case in a lot of cases. So his advice to his son for not settling or entertaining women while they seek professional growth, too. That's also kind of deemed a controversial statement, right? So what do we think about LeVar Ball? Did he will his sons to the NBA? And did he get a bad rap from the media? Because it looks like he might be successful, right?
That's LeVar. That's the, you know what I mean? Like, only not, he, you know, he loves who he loves. You know, he has his wife is white, but I like his wife a lot. I know we talk about pro black and, you know, marrying black and passing down that's as black. So, I mean, you know, to be consistent, that would be the only knock. But man, he's been preaching the message of independence from corporations. And, you know, they even said Jell-O is trash. He got Jell-O in the NBA. Well, Jell-O got himself in the NBA, right? It's still hard work, still dedication. But this man never gave up on his kids. He had them in Lambos. He had them entrepreneurs, like, aside from the basketball talent. And I think this, to me, is just when I look at him, I see a role model as far as how to parent, you know? This dude, regardless of people like him or not, is an amazing father. And one of the reasons why we need more, you know, we need the dads to be in the home more, you know, at least be around. And so I think this is a big you know, with them being popular because the Holiday kids too are all, you know, their dad got all of his sons in the NBA. And so, you know, this is, you know, the common theme is the dads was, you know, was in the household, you know, putting that time in with the kids, you know. And so I know I grew up without a father. Most people in my community grew up without fathers. And it makes you think, man, if we had more fathers, you're not saying that they had to be in a household, but be in the kids' lives. What kind of potential, you know, was lost, you know? And he also, you know, he was keeping it real on Shannon Sharpe's show. And they was talking about LaMelo. And he said, yo, I'm telling my son, leave the girls alone. Leave the girls alone. You know, you hear him being very candid and honest with things that he gets knocked for. You know, ESPN tried, you know, I don't think he's been on ESPN since they said he sexually verbally sexually
like harassed
Molly Kierum for saying the same thing that he said like a month prior. Like, you know what I mean? All of a sudden it was sexual harassment when he started talking about LeBron and his son being the best on the Lakers and things of that nature, which you should be saying. If I'm, you know, a rapper and I'm in the industry and I say name the top 10 best rappers, I better, you know, I'm gonna name myself. You know what I mean? Like we see a lot of people do. So
yeah, but you know what ESPN is definitely on the woke kick right now. They're not tolerating anything over there. Anything perceived over there, they come in with full. That's why I think you get a better FS1, I think, has a better, you know, saline lineup of people, man. They'll accept a little bit differing voices. You got Marcellus Wiley over there, and he say his, you know, things that may be deemed controversial. So, you know, I think you get a different, you say anything at ESPN, it's a hit, you know?
Until they can control the narrative. But, you know, LeVar's always controlled his son's, he didn't control it, but he shielded them from some of the craziest stuff. Like Jello got locked up in China for stealing. Like, people would lose their life over in China for that. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like he been through it with his sons. And to see them at the peak, like to have three kids in the NBA is crazy, you know? And to do it the way he did it, you know, they had their own brand before they was out of high school. That's what made LaMelo ineligible. And everybody was like, oh, that's stupid. But no, why is it stupid to teach your kid business before he get into big business? Regardless if they stayed with the brand that they built, he understands business, right? He didn't go, you know, like, I like that concept of, like, let me teach you real life skills and knowledge, not this 4-year school BS and, you know, I'm going to make you sure you got all the things you need before you go on the next part of your journey in life. And I think we just need to applaud that man.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, though, you know, some mistakes was made up on down the road, you know, with the what's that, Big Baller Brand, you know, the guy, you know, basically robbing, you know, part of what's the oldest boy's name?
Alonzo.
Yeah, robbing part of basically taking part of his money, and they, you know, releasing the shoddy products and, you know, taking, skimming off the top and things like that. So I wouldn't say it's been all, you know, positive, but throughout the journey, I would say that he's been there. My question is, do you think, like, the mom, you know, what role does she have? Like, is it possible to play that background role, right, while still influencing the means? You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, can a great man exist without, you know, that woman that's behind him? Would he been as successful if he was like a single father or whatever? So let's get Sharice in there. Do you think it's possible to play that little background role while still pushing, you know, your sons to greatness? You know, can you silently support without, you know, being that vocal point of the family?
So when you say background, what do you mean?
Like, she's not like LeVar, where he's boisterous. He's out there. He's basically taking the bullets, right, for his sons in a way, right?
Right.
So, you know, what part do you think she's playing in that background role? You know what I'm saying? If she's able to, or even as a woman, you know, do you think that, you know, what would be a role behind that? What would be, like, would it be even possible to be successful to raise those sons in that character while still, you know, maintaining it on the background? Like, how would you hold down your man in that situation?
Yeah, I think that's like the two different energies. You know, you have the masculine and you have the feminine. So I'm sure she's holding down, you know, the house. She's probably holding down, I don't know, maybe the finances, maybe, you know, making sure the kids are good. And all that plays into his mental to be able to be as strong as he is, you know, because he's playing a certain role in his son's lives, you know, and she plays a different role. She's nurturing.
Yeah, I guess that nurture part is definitely overlooked, I would say. Like I said, without even seeing like their family union, like we're just speculating. We don't know how the family union works or whatever, but we do know, you know, at the end of the day, it's a two parent household, and the statistics say that, you know, two parent household produce more successful kids, right? That's why a lot of people's harping on a lot of these, you know, slogans they were saying about killing the patriarchy and, you know, destroying nuclear family and things like that. You know,
do y'all watch the show? They show on Facebook?
No, I haven't watched it.
So the mom actually had a bad stroke and been recovering for years. She still was. So, you know, that's why I say, like, if, you know, the show is actually pretty dope because you've seen the family side. You know, they tight-knit group. You know, and the mom, LeVar, not only with the getting, you know, the practices and the games, you know, they were traveling. LaMelo played in, what, Lithuania? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Jello played in, like, somewhere overseas, too. But he was also home with his wife, helping her recover from the stroke that she had. Right. And she was an athlete. You know, that was the thing that LeVar said made him gravitate, because he had a vision of having his sons play professional ball. So he chose a woman that he liked that had genetics of athlete.
Exactly. I think she was a track
runner and a swimmer. And so that's what, you know, where I give him the credit, because he had a vision and he willed the vision through action, not just talking, you know. He, you know, a lot of the show, he's with his wife, making sure his wife is good. You know, he's pushing her through the wheelchair, through the stadiums. He's, you know, every checking on her. He does a lot, you know, and it's just crazy how the media, you know, they attacked him, but they weren't talking about, like, yo, that man wasn't sexually harassing old Miley Cyrus. You know what I mean? She ain't really nothing but a, you know, she don't even talk on ESPN. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? She don't even say nothing. And he's already displayed his devotion to his wife. So to me, the biggest thing wasn't just the allegations, but it's like, yo, you disrespecting the work that he's putting in with his family union. You know, that's bringing shame on the family, and he doesn't display that type of character. Yeah. Not saying he probably never did that, but, yo, get a man some credit, because we out here in times where there's a lot of thotties out here, and they jumping. He got three high school boys, and he not in bad shape for his age, but he got three kids that's in the NBA. You mean to tell me that he ain't getting thrown some stuff, and he got a wife that had a stroke, probably, you know, probably can't get busy like she used to get busy, right? So, you know, like, we looking at that family dynamic, now that man juggling a lot. I know I go 3 weeks with no buns, I'm losing my mind right now. You know what I mean? And he got three kids. He probably got agents, Nike, Puma, Adidas, all these people calling him. He got to deal with all these Instagram thoughts, probably just outside their house. You know what I mean? And you know, it's a lot, you know, that, you know, to do it at the level he's doing it. And with the confidence that he does it, all his kids are already media prep too. When you hear them talk, they don't stutter. You know, them dudes is professional athletes already, you know. So I like the business side that he integrated in the family side. You know, having a wife that's not mobile from having a stroke, man, that, you know, that's a lifelong recovery.
Exactly.
You know, and I think we, you know, he's a pillar of how we need to, as Black men, despite him having a white wife, you know, you love who you love. I don't knock it. But Lonzo, we seen the role he going down with his baby mom. She pretty much got him for all his bread. Straight biggie than one. For his paper. You know, hopefully Jello and LaMelo don't go that route. You know?
But then maybe that's not a lesson that was taught. That's why you hit that second part of that, right? Like, I think you hit on an important thing before even all that is the ability, right? The the wherewithal, the strength to choose the right partner, right? Choose exactly. somebody that compliments you, but not necessarily, you know, chasing the Instagram, you know, big, you know, fix a flat butt, you know, the inflated yeah. butt, right?
Exactly.
So that in itself is kind of an accomplishment where you like, all right, I know where I want my life to go, right? I know where I want to have sons. I want to go to the NBA. I want to do this. So I'm going to choose a woman that's not only, you know, selfless, but also, you know, athletic and, you know, things had of that tools. Nature.
They had her tools. Yeah, so. You know, we picked the need. And we don't do that in our community, I don't think, as much, right? For whatever reason, you know, we don't say this person gives me the best opportunity to advance in life and advance the community that I'm a part of, wherever we go. We kind of don't do that. We kind of date off of who we want. And
exactly.
he kind of picked who he needed. He always expressed that I needed her because exactly. Without her, I wouldn't been able to, at the time, fulfill my vision. And he had a son on the Lakers. He got a son drafted number two. He got Jello who went undrafted on the Pistons. Who he probably shouldn't even be in the league, but he is the best shooter. But, you know, I mean, going back to LeVar, I mean, hats off to that man. I hope he gets some rest. I'm sure he's been working really hard. But, you know, to me, as a father of two, I really hope that I could put the time in with my kids that he apparently has.
Yeah, that's big right there. I think that's the biggest thing right there is putting in that time, man. Shoot, I know I got the kid right now playing soccer. Like I don't know shit about no damn soccer, but I'm gonna try to get out here, kick this ball around and help you out as much exactly. as I can. Mm-hmm. Pay somebody to help you or something, you know what I mean? So that's one thing is putting in that time. And if kid got some, you know, if they got even them, look at what goals they want to achieve or whatever, and to help them, you know, achieve that. I'm sure they wanted to go to the league too, you know. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
Salute to LeVar for that. So let's get to our next topic here. With the media trying to create a demand to allow a ransom of stimulus checks in exchange for this new Rona vaccine they got going out, right? And I guess we had a study by MIT released stating that the vaccine could be detrimental and more ineffective for the Black and Asian community. Asian community actually taking the virus pretty good recently from what I read. But what do we think about the vax coming up there, Rona vax? And what are y'all thoughts on pretty much, you know, look like could be mandatory in certain, you know, industries. I know first line workers, they're talking about them and the elderly getting it first. So what do you guys think about that?
Also, too, I think an article just came out about the profound effects that it could have on women and fertility. And, you know, it's crazy because they throwing fillers out there. How would you feel about if we told you we can get you your stimulus check if you get the, you know, if you get this vaccine? You know, they throwing the fillers out there in the media. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, people are hurting right now, you know. And it's really disturbing that we're about to really take a vaccine with it being under a year of development. Like, really, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like we already know as Black people how they've been testing on us with certain stuff and the effects that had on some of these communities and people. But now they really like, F it. We about to test everybody. Even though you got a 1% chance of dying, we about to get everybody. You know, we about to, you know, and they probably, and I think the MIT report that they talked about, it was least effective with Black and Asians, probably because they didn't have Black and Asians to test on. I know if a school, a university, a company came and say, hey, we'll give you $100 a day to test COVID vaccine on you. We'd be like, hell nah, you crazy as hell. You know, so, you know, and to an earlier episode, we made that a point where we said I think Oni or Koku said it, that we need to have our own scientists kind of bet a lot of this stuff. Like, where's our Black scientists betting, you know, these vaccines? You know, like, if you testing this on white people, well, we already know exactly. Our DNA is different, you know, for probably not all of us. My DNA is probably more similar to the European, but you know, for people that are have more African ancestry, their DNA is going to be vastly different than those with more European genes. So who is telling you know, you just putting this out there like it's good for everybody when we know it's probably not. It's probably good on monkeys, mice, and white people.
You know? Yeah, you hit on a good point there that on average it takes 10 to 12 years to develop a vaccine. That's, you know, with proper, you know, long-term testing, which even then 10 to 12 years ain't a lifetime, right? You know, even then it takes that long to develop vaccine. You talk about rolling out something in, what, it's been 9 months, 10 months, I want to say, since they started working on it. And this isn't your average vaccine, right? This is an mRNA. Well, two of them are mRNA altering, and one of them, I think they're using like a virus to directly into the DNA. So this ain't never been done. This is all experimental. So that's crazy in itself. But it's also crazy, like I said, with them, you know, did you see what was it, Ticketmaster, like to even there put that statement saying that you need the vaccine to even buy a ticket, which they walked back. You had the airlines talking about, you know, to fly. One airline, I think they say as soon as it becomes, you know, readily available, that they're going to ask that you get the vaccine. And they're already rolling out the cards. I see a lot of people got the cards that say, you know, you've been vaccinated. I think it's two shots for one of them.
No, nah. I'd be stuck in New Jersey, I guess, for the next 3 years.
And it's crazy because I had a back and forth with a brother on like Twitter, right? I think it's one of the only followers or something like that. And the brother had all this pro-black stuff on his page, right? Had Marcus Garvey quotes, had all this, you know, the white man and do this and the devil and we need to, you know, separate and, you know, Pan-Africanist and that and the third. And then it's like, yeah, but we need to get this vaccine though. You know, like, yeah, don't trust the white man, but I'm getting that vaccine. I'm getting in line right with everybody. You know, I'm getting right. So I'm like, what? Like, that's that in itself is an oxymoron to me, right?
You must be hurting.
Yeah, you know I mean, something's up. But that's the thing. Like, why not wait it out? Like, what is the big rush? You know what I'm saying? Particularly, and then, like I said, this whole time, there's been no talk on, you know, been no talk on weight management, no talk on nutrition, none of that, right? It's just straight the vaccine, which in myself is, that's crazy. That's backwards. That's counterproductive to me, right? I seen a chick the other day. I'll never forget this, man. I'm going to Publix, right? Chick, diligent with the mask, right? One of the people that drive around with the mask on, right? And I ain't harping on no mask. I ain't, you know, you do what you got to do. But she pulled the mask down, took a big old bite of Kentucky Fried Chicken she had in the bucket next to her. And I'm like,
she about to suffocate and throw up in her mask.
It's like, so all right. So we diligent when it comes to, you know, protecting against the virus and all that. But, you know, I got to have that 10-piece extra crispy, you know, spicy. With sauce on the side and coleslaw, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you do know heart disease like the number one killer in America, right? He's dropping like flies off like heart disease.
One in four, right?
Yeah,
probably it's like one in three.
It's number one. It's probably even higher because a lot of people are having strokes and heart attacks at the crib and they so scared to go to the hospital. They're not even going to the hospital. So they dying at the crib off, you know, stuff they wouldn't normally got treated for because people's terrified to go to the hospital. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of crazy when you see stuff like that, you know.
It's crazy because, like, you know, in professional sports, every week a team is getting hit heavy and them people back out on the field a week later like they never even had it. So it kind of shows you that this is, as long as you have a not compromised immune system from some kind of disease, right, you can't really change that. But as long as you have somewhat of you're somewhat in good health, that the virus is very beatable. We seen, was it Trevor Lawrence? He went down with it and he's supposed to play this week. You know, it's like they talk about COVID like it's the flu now. You know, like, oh, he had COVID. He'll be out 7 to 10 games. Not, you know, the narrative isn't, oh, he's suffering. He's about to die. Like, you know, the singer Jeremiah, they said he got hospitalized and wasn't doing too good. But we got to look at the lifestyle he's probably having, right? Probably in the club, drinking every night, smoking every night, popping pills. You know what I mean? Eating what he wants to eat until it's time for tour, where he probably gets in shape in 60 days. You know, internally, he probably all jacked up.
Speak on the drug culture of the area. What was the one rapper that was with Chief Keef there, man? I want to say Fredo. He died of lean, bro. He had already had respiratory issues, and you know, once you get on that lean, man, it does it even worse. It exasperates those conditions. So that man like suffocated, man. Basically died of respiratory disease. You know what I mean? I think he might have sleep apnea or something like that. to go along with that, you know, just like Pimp C, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to be cognizant of that. I read one, like, I was reading one headline. It was like, you know, this teacher in, I want to say it's like your neck of the woods up there, Jersey. He died of, you know, COVID-19 or whatever. But then if you go into the article, it's like the brother had diabetes. He had several surgeries. He recently had his left foot amputated.
Oh, I'm like, done.
Yeah. And it's like, what's up with that? Why y'all not included any of that in the article? So that's why I harp on health, man, particularly diabetes, because we know those things are rampant in our community. Diabetes, asthma. You ain't a brother if you don't know at least 5-6 people with asthma, severe asthma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had asthma. I was on that nebulizer for years, bro. And the only thing that saved me was playing ball. Like, you know what I mean? I went from steroids and that nebulizer to, like, I was just like, well, I like playing ball more than being hooked on a machine. And, you know, they say you outgrow it, but really it's just you strengthening your lungs, you know what I mean? And
yeah, getting in shape, exercise, and getting out there in the air and running around, right?
Vitamin D too, you know what I mean? Lack of vitamin D.
Word. That's the big thing in the Black community too. So I think if you're going to also talk about vaccines, you need to also talk about, you know, the underlying conditions. You talk about these things, these respiratory conditions, you know, this lack of nutrition. Go find how many smoothie spots in the hood, bro? I harp on this every time. Like, every time I go home to Chicago visit, I'm like, all right, bro, if I want to go to the gym, I got to go to the Burbs. I want to go get a smoothie, I got to go to the Burbs. You know what I'm saying?
If you want some Henny, you can go get that.
Oh, yeah, that's right there. Yeah, it's church and lick store in every other corner in the hood. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not talked about in the nutrition factor. So I say that's fine if you want to talk about vaccines, you want to talk about, you know, preventative measurements in terms of like PPE and all that. But I better hear something about, God damn it, nutrition. I better hear something about some green vegetables in your life, a jog in the block. Exactly. It better not be all vaccines and everything else, right? So. Mm-hmm. What you got? You got anything else on that, Reese? Because I know you've been quiet. We've been kind of dominating the conversation on that fact.
No, y'all good. I'm not taking no shot unless I have to take a shot. Like, I don't want to be in the first round of shots that go out.
You like Oni.
She said I don't want to be in them.
Bro, I am Legend, one of my favorite movies, even though it's flawed, and I'm not Will Smith. If everybody turned into into whatever them things is, I'm done for. I'm slow as hell right now. Hunting with a Mustang, shooting out of a Mustang. He's like the perfect person in that. I'm far from perfect. My ass is done. So, you know, I'm hoping people don't get that shit. If people start turning into flesh eating zombies. I'm done up, bro. I'm gonna have to off myself.
Well, I hope they be the Walking Dead type zombies, some slow cats instead of the.
I'm getting a big ass.
Them 48 days later. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Oh, bro, I'm done up.
When they was running, sprinting, I was like,
I said, oh, bro, after about a quarter mile, I'm done.
You better get you some rollerblades or skateboard.
For real. So, hey, like I said, we gonna cross our fingers for Walking Dead zombies and you know, Night of the Living Dead type zombies and those nice slow ones. You know what I'm saying? They be moaning from miles away. You can hit them from a mile away. That's cool. We deal with that. No 48 days later.
Cyber truck, yo, so I could just run motherfuckers over. I got a little poop right now. I'm be stuck.
Yes. So I think we wrapped that one up. All right. So it looks like we're coming to the end. You know, like I said, I got a shout out Ry in the background, dropping all the fact checking, because I know I was talking about things that I probably didn't have all the answers, but she corrected me real quick. So, you know, I don't want to get Joe Rogan. So yeah, I appreciate
working. She got the hard job.
Yeah.
Right.
Worth every penny.
Appreciate you, Ry.
But all right, so I'm gonna throw that to y'all, man. If y'all wanna plug y'all socials, wanna plug anything else or whatever y'all got on the docket. I know we've been a while since we had a Queen's Council. I know
it.
So let me go ahead. I'm gonna throw you over to L first, man. What you got? You got anything, bro?
Nah, I'm just I'm happy to be back. Been real busy, personal life, school. You know, just been busy. So, you know, I love being able to rap. And, man, I'm just excited for this Versus. This is Shanti and Keisha Cole coming up. I'm about to get the popcorn ready. I'm hoping they looking real scrumptious. Sorry if you sound like I'm womanizing.
Misogynist. You're a misogynist.
Exactly.
Damn, these is like my childhood dreams right here. Shanti looking good on her fitness shit. I don't know what Keisha Cole doing, but I'm sure she still look good. I'm like, God damn, you know, and this is black excellence, right? They've been killing it with the verses. I think the Jeezy and the Gucci took it to a whole different level. I'm hoping to see some things on this upcoming one. Something to talk about.
Word. All right, what you got over there, Sharice? What you got?
Just check me out, the Queen's Council podcast on Instagram and Facebook. I know it's been a long time since I've recorded an episode, but, you know, it's some behind-the-scenes stuff going on. So just stay tuned. Just follow me.
What Bougie doing? She still rocking or she's still rocking with you, Sharice? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got a guest co-host coming on, but she just PCS'd. So I wanted to wait until, you know, she got back so that we could record. So
for the people that don't know what PCS and mean, you just threw out a whole
acronym. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you just gave up the MO.
Right. She just moved. So she just relocated. So, you know, but like I said, just some behind the scenes stuff going on. But I'm definitely going to be consistent once I get the off the ground stuff, you know, situated. But
yeah, we gonna get. I'm gonna make sure I'm a every episode. I'm a, you know what I mean. So you ain't gonna escape,
right?
All right, ride the behind the scenes guru. What you got? What you got? You got anything?
Nah, I don't have anything over here.
All right. Well, like I said, I gotta thank you again for helping the brother out because you're way better than me at that social media stuff.
I got you.
And oh man, I forgot to release. I meant to open up the page yesterday of Hip Hop High Society. I'm gonna do it tonight. I got some reviews and everything on there, so make sure. Hey, it's been a busy week, yo. So
he's
tonight.
He's like a robot.
So tonight is gonna be open, yo. I'm opening up the page. I think we got like that new Marion. We got that reviewed. We got that Jeezy joint, and we got something else. I forgot what that
Marion got an album out.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out a month ago. So check out that review. And I'm working on the editorial right now. I've got to write it myself. So anybody out there, I'm looking for writers too, man. It's hard to. You would think with these people out of work, it'd be easy to get writers. But anybody that wants to write or has, you know, experience or even wants to learn, man, I can help teach you. And if you want to write for Hip Hop High Society, hit me up and let me know. And that's pretty much all I got right now. So, you know, on behalf of everybody here at the Harsh Reality Podcast, I got to say peace.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.